Come on, Chloe. Go ahead.
So how we know that know that if we hear a sound, it is coming from our mind, or it's coming from the super soul, if it's an instruction or something like that? How we can know who is talking with us?
Yeah, often devotees have this idea that hearing your mind is a bad thing. But that's not necessarily the case. Anybody, devotees hear noises downstairs, that's from workers working down there. And not much we can do about that. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to listen to your mind. It's a question of what condition the mind is in. If the mind is in a contaminated condition, then it will lead us in the wrong place. But if the mind is in a pure condition, then it will take us to the right place. And ultimately, this is what Krishna is advising in the 6th chapter. So he says, Jitatma, Prashantatma, Paramatma, Samadhina, that one should overcome the influence of the mind. Bandur Atmatmanastasya, Jinatmayvatmana Jita, Anatmanastashatrutve, Varte Atmayvashatruvat. He says that the mind can be the friend and the enemy. So, in what condition is the mind the enemy? It's in an enemy condition when it's still in the conditioned state, or not. It may even be in the conditioned state, but when it just speculates. In other words, it just thinks according to references of good and bad, sankalpa, vikalpa, what I like, what gives the senses enjoyment. When the mind learns that the reference points are sadhu, shastra, guru, then the mind is the friend, even in the conditioned state. Then in the liberated state, then it's a very good friend. So it's not that we want to dispose of our minds, or that our minds are maya, but rather we want to train our minds, and that's what Krishna consciousness is all about, to learn how to be Krishna conscious, that you're conscious of Krishna. And that you train yourself how to think rationalize in a Krishna conscious way. And that's possible. That's what sadhana is all about. That's what our practice of Krishna consciousness is all about, to train our minds to be Krishna conscious. And then there are friends. Then our mind is our friend. After all, Krishna gave us a mind for a reason, to engage our senses in his service. But if the mind hasn't been trained to do that, then it will try to engage our senses in our own service, in the service of our material desires. So that's the practical aspect of Krishna consciousness. And then intelligence is meant to actually show us how to apply the general principles that are there in Shastra to day-to-day circumstances. For instance, there's this oil, or not this oil, but this pollution spill in Hungary. So Krishna doesn't tell you that, when the when this red sludge spills over in Ikea in Hungary, then you should do this. But he does tell you how to deal with every circumstance. He does tell you how to avoid using red sludge and making the red sludge by being less dependent on all of these aspects of economic development for facilitating our unlimited senses that bring about all kinds of ugra karma, which have these type of reaction. He tells us to live in a more simple lifestyle where you don't have ecological disasters because there's nothing to spill. So there's principles, and we need to know those principles, like mathematics. Mathematics is sort of they call it a pure science. Pure science because it can only be applied. It has to be applied in some other way. Of its own, mathematics doesn't do anything. But for instance, when you put mathematics into mechanical engineering, then the principles of mathematics show you how to build a bridge. You take those formulas and you apply it according to the practical principles of structure and structural analysis and how a bridge should be built. So that's what Krishna consciousness is about. Prabhupada would say that Bhagavad Gita has got all the answers to all the problems of the world. It means that it gives all the principles, and now you have to know how to apply these principles. And once one is learned in applying these principles, and when one's mind applies these principles to all of our circumstances, then our mind is our friend. And it's not meant to be rejected. That's falgubharaiva. That's artificial. You're not meant to reject something artificial. You're not meant to reject your mind. You're meant to reject your mind when it's giving you bad advice. But you're meant to learn how to get your mind to give you good advice. And just like our body, the pushings of our senses get us into problem when we follow it. But when we learn how to control our body and control our senses, then actually our body is our vehicle by which we become Krishna conscious. We render devotional service with our body. Without it, how do you become Krishna conscious if you don't have a body? So the body is not the problem. But it's because we've been conditioned in a certain way, we've developed some bad habits, and now we need to purify our heart and reuse that bad thing, that good instrument for the right thing. Some question about that?
So in the beginning of the devotional service, we can't hear the Supasala?
Not the beginning of devotional service. A long way down devotional service, you can't directly hear the voice of the super soul. To hear Krishna directly, you have to be advanced. But we hear Krishna every day. We hear Bhagavad Gita. We hear Krishna through devotees. As conditioned souls, as beginners, we can do that. Similarly, we can also hear the voice of the super soul based upon what Sadhu Shastra and Guru also says, how the super soul speaks to us through others. Indirectly, we can, and if our mind is trained, then super soul will guide us and direct us through our mind how to do the right thing. Like when we come to Krishna consciousness, how did we make that decision? Where did that intelligence and guidance come? It came through the super soul. It's like its fault. The birds are flying south. How are they flying south? How do they know where to go? How do they know that they should eat in order to fly thousands of miles? So Prabhupada says the super soul tells them. What does that mean? That means that, you know, the super soul appears before their eyes and they hear the super soul's voice? No. It means that indirectly, through what we call instinct, the birds know what to do. That super soul. Bears go into hibernation. Not because they hear the voice of the super soul, but because indirectly the super soul is guiding them through a certain type of established mechanism. So direct communication with the super soul is for advanced persons, just like Krishna is on the altar. But we can't directly speak to him, but indirectly he's speaking to us. Through so many other ways, and that we have to learn how to hear. And then when our minds become purified, then we can hear in other ways.
Sometimes Christians said to us probably that they can hear the sound of the Lord. So then the Lord speaks with them, and so who is speaking with them though? If they can hear some sounds.
Well, you can hear many things. Many people hear many things. Crazy people hear voices telling them to, you know, go and kill everyone on the street. And you can hear ghosts, you can hear your mind, you can hear so many voices, you can hallucinate and think that you're hearing so many other different types of things. But that you're hearing God, that you have to have a purified heart. Maybe someone's hearing the Lord, but that means that they have to have had a purified heart in order to be able to do that. And it's doubtful that people who don't understand that you shouldn't kill and eat meat are purified enough to be able to hear God. So they may hear other things, but they're not directly hearing God. They may hear voices. There are so many voices, so many phenomena that people hear. But to identify that's the voice of God, that's something else. And how do you know? Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya. Once again, what does the scripture say? What does saints say? What was the example of Guru? So if scriptures say don't kill and you're killing, then how are you in contact with God? But it's a principle that's quite difficult for them to, many to understand. Some do understand it. So any voice, it isn't that I hear a voice and I just label it that it's God. Only if that voice is telling me exactly so many other things that is already indirectly spoken, and I'm already following all of the other injunctions of scriptures, and my heart is purified to that state of hearing the Lord. It's not such a cheap thing that I walk into a church, I get baptized, and the next thing is I'm hearing God. Things don't happen like that. Spiritual life is not so cheap. You want to hear God, you really have to dedicate your life to that. Hare Krishna.